Welcome back to Issues Etc. Very interesting story from the Washington Post, and it comes to us via the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. The headline reads, "Research finds way to safely transform adult stem cells." That sounds like good news. In fact, I think it is. The stem cell debate has been hot and heavy for about 3 or 4 years now. We have on one side people insisting that we need to conduct embryonic stem cell research, that is, destroy human embryos and harvest their stem cells in order to get the very best cures from stem cells, and others are saying, no, that's not only wrong, it's not all that productive. Adult stem cells are the way to go. Well, this new breakthrough seems to kind of change the lay of the land. Wesley Smith joins us to talk about it. He's senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, and author of numerous books, including Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. Wesley, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to talk with you again, Todd.
All the hype over embryonic stem cells that we've been hearing for these many years, how does it look in light of this most recent breakthrough?
Well, what happened, the headline that you just read is slightly inadequate. What happened was that about 11 months ago, there was a breakthrough that was not an adult stem cell breakthrough. It was even better than that. It was taking normal skin cells or any other kind of cells. They've even done it with wisdom teeth. And what they do is they introduce four genes into these, like skin cells or differentiated cells, cells that have become a specific purpose. And these genes actually cause these four genes cause the chromosomes and the genes in the cell to re-express, meaning these cells are changed from inside, and they become embryonic-like. They're not embryo stem cells, but they become embryonic-like stem cells. These are called induced pluripotent stem cells. And they give to scientists what we before were told was the gold standard. And supposedly we were supposed to get this from human cloning. Remember, embryonic stem cells is the means by which the ultimate goal is obtained, which is human cloning. And with regard to stem cell research and human cloning, what the scientists and the, let's say, the scientific intelligentsia, the politicized type, said they wanted was tailor-made patient-specific pluripotent stem cells, pluripotent being able to become, in theory, any tissue in the body. That's precisely what the induced pluripotent stem cells provide. You can take a skin cell from me, put these genes into that skin cell, it changes into a pluripotent stem cell that is tailor-made and patient-specific. Now, if they are already taking people with genetic diseases, and they are creating these pluripotent stem cell lines from these specific patients for study and for drug testing. This is in only 10 months since they've been done in human beings, which was last November, or maybe it's 11 months now. Human cloning, despite years of effort, has not yet successfully been accomplished, at least to get embryonic stem cells. And so what this has done is you'll notice that there has not been a lot of sturm and drang over the embryonic stem cell issue.
Yeah.
This has completely taken the wind out of the sail of that particular campaign theme that was supposed to be able to destroy the Republican Party because of George Bush's funding policy. Well, it turns out, from my perspective, that George Bush's funding policy, which permitted funding of embryonic stem cell research on certain stem cell lines created before August 9, 2001, induced scientists to look for moral and ethical ways to obtain the benefits that they claim they needed embryos for, and now it turns out they probably don't. So this is a triumph of the Bush policy, but, of course, he'll never get credit for that.
We hear, and we still will hear. It's going to be, start up again, especially the closer we get to this election. We've got 40,000 spare embryos sitting in vats of liquid nitrogen going to waste. They're only going to be thrown away or kept in the deep freeze forever.
Those IVF embryos are yesterday's argument. The induced pluripotent stem cells have not done away with embryonic stem cell research, but they have really, I think, substantially destroyed the argument about the need, supposedly, to go forward with human cloning. Because if these pluripotent stem cells can ever be used to treat human beings, you won't need to have clones because they won't be rejected because it'll be your own tissues. Induced pluripotent stem cells And these are separate and apart from the adult stem cell successes we've already talked about on your show that are happening all the time, where patients' own adult stem cells become diseased. These are not adult stem cells. These are, as I pointed out, these are like skin cells that are made into stem cells. And if they also come online, like adult stem cells, there won't be any need. There won't be any immune rejection because it's your own tissues. Think of it like when you're going to have a serious surgery and you give blood for yourself just in case you need it, you know, because that's safer than taking blood from another source. And so the whole realm of this whole stem cell debate has been fundamentally altered, which is why you see a little peep here and a little peep there. But it has not been a primary theme in this campaign. It has not, and it will not be, because this new invention, human invention, that really began just last November of 2007, has transformed the field. Ian Wilmot, who cloned Dolly the sheep and had a license in the United Kingdom to do human cloning of patients with Lou Gehrig's disease so that they could try to create cloned embryonic stem cell lines, that is, create an embryo of the person with Lou Gehrig's disease, develop the embryo through cloning for a week, destroy the embryo, take the stem cells, and create this line for study. Just before he was about to start that research, he quit because he said the induced pluripotent stem cells are the future, and now that's what he's doing instead of cloning. It has changed the field dramatically and is not a major issue in this election. Now, of course, in Missouri, you've got the Stowers Institute and those people who gave you Amendment 2 who are still huffing and puffing about embryonic stem cell research. But you watch, they're going to go to this too because it's the future.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering about, is the people who still want cloning. And you've written extensively in your books about why other reasons, unstated exactly. reasons, why those who advocate who have advocated for cloning to get stem cells might want cloning for other purposes. What are they?
Right, and that's because stem cells have, in my view, have never been the ultimate goal. Cloning is not required for stem cell regenerative medicine, certainly not anymore. But what cloning is required for, if you want to learn how to do it, is genetic engineering, because you have to learn what genes do what and how they express. And in order to study that, you're going to have to make repeated copies of the same genetic embryo in order to begin to learn how these genes express in early embryonic development. Eventually, if you want to use cloning to, for example, fetal farming to obtain sources of organs, then you want to be able to develop these embryos, cloned embryos, into a stage where you have the ability to obtain organs. And they've already done those experiments with animals. They have done fetal farming in animals to see whether or not they could obtain workable organs from cloned fetuses. You need cloning in order to be able to do reproductive cloning. And there are people who want reproductive cloning, that is, taking a cloned embryo and bringing it to birth in order to allow people who are infertile or gay couples to be able to have genetically related children. It's necessary for the transhumanist agenda, which seeks to create a post-human species. I mean, these are all brave new world kind of agendas. It's needed if you're going to create fetuses for drug testing and for medical experimentation. This is needed, and your listeners might be saying, oh, they would never do that. Well, they've already done experiments on fetuses and living human fetuses in the late 60s and early 70s. Which was finally came to light and stopped because at that time there was a strong sanctity of life ethic in the 70s. Today, that strong sanctity of life ethic has been obliterated. And if today, if you said we need to gestate a cloned embryo in an artificial womb 5 months, it'll never be born, but it'll cure your Uncle Charlie's Parkinson's, you bet that a large segment of our society would go along with that. And by the way, just to show you I'm not a total paranoid, remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not really after you. In New Jersey, there is a law that specifically permits the creation of cloned human embryos, does not outlaw the implantation of these embryos, that which is not illegal is legal, and allows their gestation through the ninth month, only requiring that the fetus be destroyed at the moment prior to birth. Now, that cannot be done technologically, but that law is on the books in New Jersey. Others might say, yes, but the United States, because of this threat, has outlawed fetal farming. Indeed, it did. But it did not outlaw fetal farming in artificial wombs, only in women, in a woman's uterus, or a substitute, animal substitute, therefore. So I'm getting a little complicated here, but cloning is the agenda if you want to move past stem cells into various brave new world technologies. If the issue is obtaining patient-specific pluripotent stem cells for study and eventual potentially use, if necessary, in treatments, the induced pluripotent stem cells clearly look to be offering that potential, and you don't need cloning for that.
Wesley Smith is a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, a regular guest here on the program, author of numerous books, including Consumer's Guide to a Brave New World. You'll find a link to Wesley Smith's website under the on-demand page of ours, issuesetc.org. Wesley, thanks for being our guest.
Always a pleasure, Todd.
When we come back from this break, 10 more minutes in Issues Etc. this afternoon, Thursday, October the 2nd, Colleen Carol Campbell has written a column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. There's nothing wrong with single-issue politics and single-issue voters. Well, when we come back, we'll find out how she makes her case, especially with regard to abortion. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
Is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.